What's up, my dude? How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Just had to go find these headphones.
Nice, dude. Doing pretty nice. Good, man. Nice. Okay, I'll put this away. I'm done with drawing for now. Did I show you what I drew? I think I did, right? The skull? Yeah.
I don't know. No, you didn't. You didn't show me.
Oh,
what
shit.
Does it look like?
Hold on. I'm teaching myself how to... I'm doing these drawing courses. So... I'm learning, like, what I do is I watch the video. I watch the video. Yeah. There, I sent it. Oh, I sent it again. Same one. Yeah, fuck up. But yeah. Okay. So I'm teaching myself to draw. I'm learning it through this online website or, like, these web courses, basically. And so what I do with it is, hold on a second, that's distracting. What I do with it is I watch the video enough and I do the exercises, and then my next set is kind of like doing homework. So what I do is, instead of watching the video, I try and draw it from memory. Mm-hmm. So that's what this is.
Off of memory.
Well, sort of. I mean, I did it off of memory, and then I would go back. If I was like stuck for a second, I would go back and look at like an old drawing. But nothing from the video. So that's just basically my memory and that. But it looks like a skull. It looks okay.
I mean, really, it looks great. It looks like you just like really just freehanded it.
Kinda. I mean, that's kind of the idea. I did most of it with so I'm doing my best to not use any anchor points. Do you know what that means?
Like defining lines?
No, more like
kind of like
no. Not with like in the drawing, but with like your body. So like a lot of people like an anchor points with their wrist. So like they'll have their wrist down on the paper and draw, and like that only allows you to do a certain amount of movement, right? And then another anchor points your elbow, and that opens up what you can draw. But it still limits that. And so another, so when you alleviate your wrist and your elbow, you draw from your shoulder, but you don't have any anchor points, so you don't have any strength. So you literally have to like learn to be really, really steady with your shoulder. So the first little bit of that is with my shoulder. And then the second part of it, like the beautification part, I used anchor points.
Wow.
Yeah. But like the outline, the structure, all of that stuff, I am learning to draw with my shoulder. Because apparently that's the best way to do it.
So like it seems like you're just sharpening your skills with your techniques, just getting better.
That's basically it, you know? Like I feel like I don't feel like I'm behind or ahead. I feel like I just have to continue to be patient and keep going, and eventually, because like, dude, I literally can't. I still can't draw a face. I still can't draw a body. I still can't do any of those things. Like, can't as in I haven't really put in the effort to learn how to do it.
Right.
But once I do, right, that's what the whole point of this is, right? So for January, what I did was I focused on eyes, right? And I drew as many eyes as I possibly could. And I think I got, it's not like the best number. I think I got like 8 to 10 different sets of eyes, right? But this whole year, my focus is going to be on human anatomy, like the human body, to learn how to draw it so that the next year I can start making characters and doing that type of shit and pushing forward so that in like 2, 3, 4 years, I'll be able to draw graphic novels and do that type of shit and, you know, be able to write my own stories and also draw them.
Oh, no, that would be dope.
I think so too, man. That's the goal, man. That's the goal, right? Is to basically cut out everybody. No, just kidding. Just kidding. But yeah, man. So what's up with you?
Nothing truly that much. I'm definitely, I've been looking into getting into cars, getting like a like a whole set of lights. And like you said, you got your car. So definitely something I've been looking at. Books coming along good. I've been putting a date on it, but then like I just like you always know you can add something, so it's hard.
Yeah, I know, dude. Do you do you have like a percentage of like how much you feel like you have done?
I mean, I'm really 100% done. That's the thing.
Ah. So then what are you waiting on?
Nothing, just revising and editing. That's what you keep doing. That's what I'm saying. Like, because you can always change something.
Oh, 100%. Dude, I read We Exist every once in a while, and I'm just like, oh, shit. I could change this and this. And really, all I would do, like, dude, here's how I approach We Exist now, is I can always add to it, and I'll just call it, like, version 2, or second edition, third edition, fourth edition, you know?
Yeah, people, right, exactly. People do it all the time.
Right? Yeah, so... You know, as long as you're happy with it, like as long as you're proud to put it out and just been like, I put my best, you know, effort forward and, you know, I'm proud of this book and or at least, you know, I'm proud of like what I've done. Then I think, you know, you can just move forward.
Right.
Right. And don't ever be worried about that shit. Like no one ever, I don't know what the word is. Like, don't be worried that you can, like, you already know now. You already know you can always add more, right?
Right.
So you know that that's a trap. Right? And it's not a bad trap, but it's just going to keep you in a loop of saying, guess what, dude, you can always add more.
Like, right, just try to keep me right.
Yeah. Like, We Exist was supposed to have one additional chapter, dude.
Oh, wow.
But I was like, nah. It wasn't working out. It wasn't feeling right. And I was like, you know what? And the other thing is that if I did that, it would probably take me another like three months probably to release it. And I was like, this has already taken too long. Not in a bad way, but like I started writing it in like 2015, 16, and it was already 2017, like July or June 2017. Uh-huh. Right. So I didn't want to wait another few months. And I was like, well, and the thing is too, is I don't feel like I rushed the last chapter choices in We Exist. I think it's set up the way that it's set up. I just didn't go into it at the same depth. I was like, dude, honestly, just ready to be done writing it. I really was. And.
Right. Now I feel you. I feel you on that.
You know, I was just like, I was done. And so I just wrote it, edited as much as I could. Like a lot of my work is like edited as I go. So usually like when I'm finished for the day, it's pretty much either polished or ready to be polished. But it's done like all of the hard editing.
Gotcha. Right.
But still, dude, I mean, at the end of the day, I would say, like, here's the other thing. You would never know how well it's going to do or how poorly it's going to do. All you can do is put it out and do what you can with it, right? But you can't do anything with it if it's not out.
Right.
Right. But overall, like, give me some feedback. Like, you feeling good about it?
Oh, I'm feeling great about it. Like, I read it today. It took me, like, 7 hours.
That's awesome.
So, I wasn't just reading. I was revising it, too.
Yeah.
But it definitely sounded great. Great. Like, so, I mean, I'm very confident in the book. Very confident because it's not really not based truly upon opinion. It's truly, like, based upon just either common sense or just things that are like either universal laws or just in a sense common sense, what we should already know. We should already know helping people is what you're supposed to do. Things like that. Just simple things that we think we know but we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Like all the stuff that you've discovered you're gonna share.
Exactly. And that's what I talk about. Like, everything is real life, real world experiences. It's not just saying this. Like, it's like you doing the same experiment a million times. You know exactly what you're putting into the experiment and what you're getting out of it and what is the final result. Just like anything else in life.
So, oh, 100%.
I mean, might as well share it. If somebody will listen, somebody needs to listen because somebody needs to hear it.
That's somebody absolutely.
Can learn from it. Somebody.
Like, I think people would be surprised at that too. Like, how many of our experiences, if we just shared them, if people would have been like, yeah, I've gone through that too. But what I like about stuff, like, I think I did it decently in We Exist, where, like, I would bring up experiences, but then I would also, like, bring up solutions or something like that. Like, I didn't just leave it open. You know what I mean? Like, I did my best to, like, give closure to it as well. Right? To each chapter, to each argument, to each point that I brought up. Like, all of those things. Because, like, I find, like, some people just, like, have stories to tell, but they don't necessarily really help anybody, mm-hmm. right? And I think a big part of that is either they've never concluded it, like, never gone to the solution, so they'll be like, yeah, I went through that too, right? So, like, they'll give sympathy, and, like, you know what? Sometimes that's good. Like, sometimes that just feels good to know that other people have dealt with the same thing, but sometimes it's even better when someone has gone through the same thing and shares what worked for them.
Right.
Like how they broke through, right? Like, it's like the same. It's like someone that's just like, you know, you could be like, oh, I would go to the gym 5 days a week, or I go to the gym 7 days a week. And the other guy's just like, I go to the gym 7 days a week too, man. And you're like, cool, we got that in common. But then the guy's just like, you know, and he's just like, I see that, like, and he's just like, yeah, man, so what I do with my arms is this, and what I do with my legs is this, and, you know, I've found that I get really good gains when I do these exercises here, right? It's a completely different conversation, right? And then you get to add in and go, like, dude, that's dope, and you can learn a couple things from that person, but then add yours in too and been like, yeah, man, and, like, this is what I learned, like, with this, this, and this, right? And I do this and this, and I found that, like, you know, at the beginning it was difficult to get to the gym, but now that, you know, but I pushed myself and I pushed myself and I pushed myself to get there. And the guy's just like, well, what did you do? And you're like, well, you know, like, anytime that I started thinking this way, I was just like, okay, I gotta go, I gotta get to that gym. And I'd get in my car, I'd get my clothes, you know, I'd get my clothes already, I get my gym bag, I get my stuff, I get clean, like, dressed and whatnot, and then I get in my car, and I, you know, even if I sat there for like 2 to 3 minutes, even if it was 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, I started it, and then I put it in, and the moment that I started and the music turned on, I put it into drive, and it just started going, and then as it was going, I just, you know, eventually found myself at the gym. And if you do that long enough, that, you know what I mean? Like, that's not something that I've done, right? Like, I did it, but anytime that I needed to go to the gym, dude, that's how it was. It was just sort of like, nah, we're going. And it was like, okay, let's pack our bag. And I would get ready and I'd pack my bag and then I'd get into my vehicle. And, like, even like I said, man, even if it took like 2 or 3 minutes to really motivate myself, I would still do it. Right. But it's that type of shit. Instead of saying, hey, man, I go to the gym too, we share it. Right. And I think that's what's really cool about books. Right. Is you can be like, I went to the gym too, and this is my experience. But it's not the gym. It's life, and it's your experience.
Right. No, I couldn't agree more. That's exactly why, like, I really want to do it first and foremost, is to just share my experiences that I've seen work in my life. Mm-hmm. It's like a formula. Just like, you know, a formula, you know it works.
That's right. That's right, man. How'd your mom feel about you writing a book? Does she know?
Yeah, she read it. She said it's really good.
Well, that's dope, like, dude.
Yeah,
that's dope, man. Your mom's pretty supportive, eh?
Yeah, she is. She's very supportive, man.
How old is your mom again? Like, you don't have to give her exact age, but, like, age range.
She just turned 50.
Okay, so she's a decade older than me. That's dope. a much more mature woman or a person. But that's dope that she likes what you wrote, dude.
Yeah, she does, though. She really does. So, yeah, her approval means a lot. I said, okay, well, shit. That means something. We're getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did take my time. But I mean, with anything, you have to take your time.
Well, dude.
Anything that's,
dude, you know, if you worthwhile. Think about how complicated you are as an individual human beings, and it took 9 months for, like, some super system to create you. 9 to 10 months, right? Right?
Right.
All we're doing is simple math of putting words together. But that takes right. time too, right? Because we're not God. We're not, you know, we may have the same connection, but we're not at that level, right? We're
you know, right, exactly.
Right. We're at our level. Right. And so, like, you know, that's what people don't get, man. Like, people want to rush shit out. They're just like, you know, I wrote this in 2 or 3 weeks. Or, and like, I know a guy that wrote a book in, like, I think a month. And I was just like, how did you do it? And you know how he wrote his book? He basically, in a sense, audio recorded him for the most part and then wrote it. And I was like, that's genius. Right, like he did it. He recorded through audio all of his thoughts, all of his shit, and then went through it after and basically like took all of his notes, and then he wrote his book after that. And I was like, you know what? You could do it that way. Right? But for the most part, dude, I really do think that anything worthwhile takes time.
Right, and I talk about that in the book. So I know I agree 100%.
You know?
Just right. Facts.
Right, it's like we live in like microwave culture, where you know you could take the extra 5 minutes and cook it on the stove, and you're gonna still keep the ingredients and the nutrients and like all of that stuff. But or you can put it in the microwave and zap it for 30 seconds. But
right.
It's not gonna be the same meal.
No, it's definitely not. I agree 100%.
You know. It's like anything, man. And that's the thing, right? Like, I guess that's a good topic, right? Patience. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, that's one thing that... What do you think patience is, man? Do you think it's just something that you have? Do you think it's a skill? Do you think it's a... like, it's not an emotion, is it? Is it a feeling? Patience isn't a feeling, right? Like, it's a... Is it an action? To be patient?
Patience is a feeling in the sense of mercy. Because if you're showing mercy, you're showing patience.
True.
Because I kind of talk about that. So that's the only reason I do know that. So it is in a sense of an action. Because you can be showing the action of mercy. You know what I'm saying? So in a sense, no, at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
Kind of both, right?
I like that, man. I never thought right. about mercy that way.
Right, it's true, though. I mean, you're showing patience.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, but see, so that's why I was thinking, like, because, like, with understanding, right, to understand something, mm-hmm. you have to have patience.
Right, right. 100%.
Right, and like to get to know somebody.
You have to have patience.
The only thing that like, see, and I think that's the difference between relationships that do well and relationships that don't is patience. Mm-hmm. Right, like a lot of, not a lot of, but you know, like a bunch of relationships are so super speedy because like, dude, those attractions are like right there, right? Those magnets, that pulse, whatever it is. And like, we call it lust, but is it really lust? Or is it just your DNA and your spirit coding and everything and your reality and world is colliding with like another reality and world, but it's colliding at such a magnanimous rate that you don't give a fuck because it just feels like like you're one or like you're connected or you're together, right? So like you look past and you bypass all of the stuff that you're supposed to be patient about, like getting to know someone. You know, like it's super difficult. Right. It's super difficult for us to like, I think it's difficult for us to be friends with people first because we're afraid that we're going to miss out or something, right? Like, mm-hmm. or we're afraid that we're going to be jealous or we're afraid that they're not going to wait, like we'll wait or something like that. Like, dude, I think me personally, if you really wanted to, if you really wanted to be with somebody, be friends with them for the first 21 days. Right? Date them for the next up to 90. Right? And then make a decision whether or not you want to be with them. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, and that's pretty quick too. But dude, trust me. Allowing ourselves, like we don't allow ourselves to be friends with people when we want to date them.
Right, I agree.
Right, we just jump right into like the we jump past that. But dude, that friendship part, that's the only thing that matters in the relationship.
Right.
Right, because if you're really looking, like, you know, like what's the most people, what most. I don't. Do you even think most people date for longevity's sake anymore?
No, it's truly based upon resources. I've just seen it firsthand in my own life. Like, it's really based upon resources. Like, most people stay together because they either have kids or financial reasons.
Yeah.
It's literally a fact.
Yeah.
It's not really based upon.
Would you say that they stay for like survival or security?
Right. Like, people know. Like, I've just seen it firsthand. Like, I'm telling you, people stay together because they have too much together. Then that, at the end of the day, like, you know you're not with them at the same time, though, for the right reasons. If you think about it, it's just for financial reasons that's holding you guys together.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, if that guy's taken away, exactly.
Right.
I mean, obviously, like, you gotta eat, but, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, that's the glue. So, I mean, really, you gotta make sure the person you have kids with when you wanna marry.
Oh, dude, 100%, right? Like, and the other thing, though, is, like, okay, do you mind, like, do you wanna get a little bit deeper with this shit? Because this is, like, a topic that I kind of, like, I don't think I've ever discussed with people, but it's interesting. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, one of the reasons why I say like 21 days, you could even go fucking 90. And like on that though, I would recommend not dating anybody else and just getting to be friends with them and be friends with everybody else that you meet. In all honesty, be friends with everybody first. Right. And like, but the reason why is because as you're being friends with them, you're building that bond between each other's genetics and you're actually, I think what's happening is as we build that bond between us, our DNA is changing and shifting to either align more with that person or disalign with that person, if that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. And the more that we align with that person, the tighter our genetics get together and that bond, right? So like you see some people and they're like, their bond is fucking tight as shit. And you're just like, holy shit, that's amazing, right? And I think what that is both of their, they put in enough of that time on those levels, on those different levels, like of the friendship, of the sexual, of the intimate without the sexuality, of even when you jump into like kids or marriage, right? Then you have those roles and you have all of these different roles, right? But if you spend that time and you build those relationships metaphysically with that person, just as you build it physically. So we're talking like emotionally, mentally, right? In that meta world. Okay. So here's what I think happens, right? When two beings have built those bonds and are really, really good together, they have a possibility to create amazing, strong, foundational children. Right. But when two beings don't have that, like, you think of like the one night stands who have kids and that kid's a fucking mess.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But we don't look into how those parents, like, you know, like think of two parents that like deal with their arguments in a calm, rational manner and just been like, I'll hear you out. You hear me out. Let's talk. Let's figure this out. Because we're in it for each other. Like, there's only one person, one other person on the planet besides myself that I want in this role, and that's you, right? So, like, let's figure this out, right? And I'm saying that in, like, healthy terms, not unhealthy terms. Like, you guys have a loving relate, like, they have a loving relationship and whatnot. We would base that then on saying that that kid, through nurture, would learn to be a loving human being that way. But what I'm saying is that it's still both. What I'm saying is how those parents act on the outside with each other is how that kid's going to act on the inside.
Exactly what I say. Exactly what I said. It's exactly why I am how I am. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
Because exactly the truth. That's what people don't understand. It's exactly why I have no kids. I'm not ready to have kids. I haven't worked on myself that much. I mean, I have, but not to the extent of having kids. Just truly. I mean, of course I'm young, but I'm just, you know what I'm saying? Like, still, people, a lot of people have kids way younger than me. So, just, you can't rush it.
Right? No. Like, build those relationships. Because, again, those relationships will build that DNA.
Exactly.
Right? And that'll build that solid kid.
Mm-hmm. Well-rounded,
yeah,
right.
You know, and then of course nurture does play a role, right? Of course, like how you, the environment that that child grows up in will, like, but really what it comes down to is if you watch the parents, it's how they deal with that. Like, all you got to really do is watch how two parents together deal with a situation. Mm-hmm. And you'll more than likely be able to map out how those kids deal with it too. Like their children.
Right.
Right. But, you know, now we live in a society where mom and dad isn't necessarily together. Okay. Right. Now think about that on the level of children as well. And the beings. It means that some of their genetics doesn't want to be with each other.
Mm.
Right. Like, it goes deep, man. And that's like, until we address that and until we look at it, there's no way that we can ever deal with it. So we go on living life in this divided internal state. Right? Getting no real peace because one half of our genetics is always threatening to leave and the other one is, you know, begging to stay and then flipping it and them then saying no, or like then the other side is pushing them away and the other side is sort of like, fuck you, fine, I'll go, like that type of shit, right? And you can watch these people and you can see that going on inside of them, this battle of like, and then it gets deeper with that person, because it's not about like how they feel about mom and dad, it's how they feel about themselves and it's how they feel about themselves in the world and what they can accomplish. So then they go, can I do this? And their mother's side will chime in and the father's DNA will chime in, right? And there'll be like this battle between either like if one's supportive and one isn't, then it's a battle between can I do it and can I not? And like that'll fuck with your confidence, man. Right? But then there's like, right? And then there's the two parents that, you know, like, don't believe in each other, so they're always putting each other down, and then they're always putting themselves down. So what the fuck is that kid going to do? You really think that that's just learned behavior? Right? Like, you think that that's, like, we think that it's just from the environment that we're in, not looking at it from a genetic standpoint, saying, I'm half of both of these people, and if this is how they act in these situations, and this is how I act in these situations, no shit.
I mean, it's simple as, like, my dad used to smoke weed all the time. My mom has never smoked weed. Is it really a coincidence that I do?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And but not only that, but that that your genetics enjoy it.
Right, exactly.
Right, it's not just that you do it. It's not just that you do the activity, right? It's that you enjoy it. Just like, you know, it's crazy. There's probably stuff that you don't enjoy that your dad didn't enjoy either.
Right.
So how is that environmental?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? It's just, you know, that's genetic. That's down to your core. That was him, right? And so, like, we get into topics that are deeper, like generational curses and like healing generational trauma, right? What that really is not healing it for those people. It's healing it within ourselves so that our DNA functions properly for us.
Makes sense. 'Cause you're the only one that can experience it.
Right. Like it's not, it has nothing to do with those people. It just, those people are a roadmap for us.
Right. They just been through it.
That's right. So we can use them as an example to heal ourselves.
Makes sense. No, I agree. That makes 100% sense.
Right. So like anything that like great grandfathers of mine did, right? I can break those generational curses myself because I have like, but I don't have to break all of them. That's what's interesting about generational curses. You really only have to break the ones that are internally to you.
Right, because there's so many of
there
them.
There are, dude.
Right.
There are. Right? So, like, because we've lasted for a long time. Mm-hmm. Right? And, like, the crazy thing is, name-wise, my genetics will end if I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. If I don't pop out one child in this lifetime, and I probably, like, dude, I'm sure that I could find one chick that I am, that I feel comfortable with enough to do that with. I just haven't found her yet. Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean. But it ends, that line, like the name, because of how we think of how it is, like names, like, let's be real. Names don't matter beyond the life that you live and the necessity for people to, quote, identify you. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I can't, like, in order to, like, let's say that I needed to call you out of a crowd, I wouldn't just be able to be like, hey, you.
Exactly.
Right? I would still need something, right? And, like, we could come up, like, you know, like, we can come up with nicknames and those still work because that's part of identification. That's all that matters. That's all that names are useful for. But genetics is different. Right? And my sister has 3 kids. So at least a quarter of my dad's genetics and my mom's genetics are going to continue on. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's not that bad. Right? But if you also think about how interesting it is, okay? So like, I'm the composition of my mom and dad, right? They are the composition of their parents, and they are the composition, and their parents are the composition of their parents, which means that I am, like, if you start thinking of it in the dilution of water, right? I am, I'm half of my dad. I'm a quarter of my grandpa. I'm an eighth of my great granddad. I'm 1/16 of his dad. I'm 1/32 of their parent. You know what I mean? Like, I still have that in me, but it's mm-hmm. super diluted from them, right? So, like, if you really go back to the beginning, dude, like, if I went back in time, as fucked up as this sounds, I would be able to have sex with the woman that gave birth to, like, as weird as this sounds, I'd be able to go and sleep with my, like, great, 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 however far down the line, because at some point I'm going to be like 1/1,000,000th of her genetic line, right? That match. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll still match and like have stuff in common, but it'll be so I'll be so diluted from her initial one that we'll be that far apart still, that it wouldn't even cause any friction in us having a child. Mm. But it's still inside of me. the potential, the possibility is either through that person directly, that being directly, or through one of their replicants, which really is just their children who then become, you know, parents to other children who become parents to other children who become eventually become parents to our parents who we become children to. So down that line, I still share the same genetics with that person. But if you really think of it, how fucking small of a percentage am I to that person? And yet we're still connected.
Right. No, I could not agree more. Truly, like, and that connection be strong.
It is, dude. Like, it's crazy. And the thing is that, like, I could then look at all the rest of the people on the planet at that time when, you know, my lineage was starting. And I'm probably different than any of those other people. Right? Except for unless you go further back. That's the fucked up part. So that's why, dude, like, if you really think about it, when it comes to human beings in a general state, we must come from one or two. Like a very small, like, we must come from two beings. Logically. If you were to map it all the way back familiar tree-wise, every single one of us would be connected to two beings that would have then populated once, and as fucked up as it sounds, repopulated again, and as fucked up as it sounds, would have repopulated until there was enough beings on the planet that were so super different that when you put them all together, it was fine. But that's tough, right? Okay, because like the other, like, how does that work? What does it go from? Like, you know how I think we came to be, dude? Through years and years of evolution from the planet. And I'm not just talking like 10 to 100 to like 1,000 to 5,000. I'm talking like 100 million years, shit like that. Like I'm talking about planetary, like a polar shift. And as the shit, like, dude, right now we're on land. But if the poles shift, this could be underwater and new land would arise. Know what I'm saying? Because the ocean floor would now become the land. And this would become the ocean. And from that, whatever survives from that would become the new life of that land. And as that land develops and evolves, so do those beings. And eventually those beings would have the capacity to be like us. They may not be in human form. That it might be lizards or fish people for the next ones. Know what I mean? Right? It could be something completely different. Or we could just evolve back into this. Because it might be just the way that Earth works. But I feel like we, you know, like every single pole shift that happens on this planet, new evolution happens. Like, or a change in evolution happens where the old gets washed out and the new rises up from those old areas. So literally, dude, this might be flooded. Like, imagine all of Canada and the United States flooded with water. But land near Hawaii and whatnot, all existing now. So Hawaii is no longer, like all Hawaii, like Hawaii is not afloat, like Hawaii is not floating, I don't think at least, right? Like all of the islands of Hawaii, they're not floating. They're mountains. They're just underwater. Does that make sense? Yo, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, no, I don't know why my mic does that. It'll like cut in and cut out. I'll say something, and I don't know if you hear me, so okay, gotcha. But no, like.
But that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when all of that water that's covering that land is shifted, because that's like the poles, because the poles move, right? And the planet readjusts, right? Then all of that land will now start to grow. We'll be in a, essentially forced to make two decisions, survive or die. And that which survives there will become the new whatever, the new world that will eventually evolve into what we are right now, but in their own way. So, you know, if we, and the thing is, it's difficult for us to even look back into history because we really don't know. We can only make guesses, right? But I'm sure that if we were to look back and really check back in history, we would see that there were many of these major catastrophes that happened on the planet that, like, we're talking like species ending, like, or like extinction level events, right? But it's only extinction on the degree of those beings that are currently alive, everything, and in their most evolved form. But I'm talking about like getting back to bacteria that grows into something, that grows into another something, that grows into another something, that eventually mutates and mutates and mutates, eventually gets legs and now can crawl, and then eventually gets, you know, this and this and this, and eventually it learns to stand up and it breaks apart and multiplies and breaks apart and multiplies. Because, I mean, the other thing is that unless you're like, we can't have, like, if you've noticed, we can't have too much of one species on the planet or something gets out of balance, right? Like, imagine if this planet was only humans. It'd be fucked, right?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
That would be terrible.
Right?
Man. But we definitely need animals. Not just animals, obviously.
Everything.
Animals, but
trees.
Grass. Everything. Right.
Exactly. But like the insects. Mm-hmm. Right? And the reptiles. Right.
Big parts.
Right? All of it. Mm-hmm. Right? Everything. Like it. We don't look at the planet like a puzzle. But if we did, mm-hmm. we'd see that all of the, or working gears. Right? Like everything, pretty much everything has a purpose. Like if you look at spiders, we're just like, oh my God, I need to kill this thing because it's invading my house. But if you just let it be, you know what a spider is going to do for you? It's going to find the most optimal place to trap all of the other bugs that you don't want in your house. But if you, so like if you become one with them, just like, like, in my opinion, that's what cats are for, dude. Cats and small dogs are supposed to catch rodents. You still with me?
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yo, I got you.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if this is mic. I had these headphones for a little bit, so maybe it's these headphones. But no, like I said, I was just agreeing with you with what you're saying. Especially about us, that would be, I mean, it'd be selfish if we were the only beings on the earth.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think we would.
I think.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think we'd be as advanced.
No.
You want for, well, that's, you know what though? I don't know. Maybe we would, because maybe we'd get over one thing. You want to know why? Like, one of the big reasons why we're advanced today is because we really deep down don't give a shit about animals. Right? Because, like,
right.
Like, how many tests are done on lab rats, on chimpanzees, on other animals for our benefit? When, in my opinion, maybe we should be doing these on humans. But the crazy thing is no humans would ever volunteer to be lab rats. So what does that tell you that we're doing to these animals? If no humans, like, there's a lady named Jane Elliott who does this amazing, she does an amazing course on racism, or at least like about skin tone, right? And about prejudice and about how we treat people and whatnot. And she does this talk and she's just like, okay, well, let's just do a survey basically. And she's like, how many people who are not of black skin would trade places with a person of black skin right now? Just raise your hand, right? If you would trade your place with someone that is black, raise your hand. Guess how many people raise their hands? Just take a guess. Yo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hello?
Yo, I got you.
Man, I need some new headphones. I don't know what.
Were you?
No,
go ahead, man.
No, I'll be talking. And then, like, I can just tell, like, you won't hear me because then, like, you don't say anything. It's like, yeah, say you'll do that.
Damn, right, we need to get you some new headphones.
Man, they're not, like, I use them when I go to the gym.
Oh, they probably play well. It's just the mic.
Right. That's what it... Right.
That's all you need. You just need, like, a headset. Something like that. I mean, I use the...
Oh, we got...
Pardon?
Mm-hmm. No, we got a place where I'd say we're over close.
You got a what?
Good. We got a place where I can go.
Oh, nice. Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's all it is. Like, in all honesty, man, like, these are, like, $25.
Right. Oh yeah. Right. Something like that. Nothing too much. Shit. Some good quality that you want to last.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Well, I mean, like these guys, like these. I mean, I go through Apple headphones probably like 2 or 3 a year, though. So, like, I'm basically spending like $75 to $100 on headphones a year. Mm-hmm. Right, but. Maybe, and I'll be getting better headphones soon, like a headset. But yeah, that's all it basically is. I think it's just your mic. So that's okay though. I think it's when you go quiet for a bit and then it disengages.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
But it's all good, dude. We're making it through.
But yeah, though, I definitely appreciate the advice on the book because it'll definitely be coming soon for sure.
Yeah, dude, send me a copy when you're when it's all good and ready.
Definitely.
I need something now. I just finished a buddy's book, and it was it literally is the more scientific version to We Exist.
Mm.
Yeah, so me and that guy are gonna start doing. We're on an app called Clubhouse. I'd send you an invite, but it's iPhone only at the moment, unfortunately.
See.
Right? So that sucks. Right? But you'd really like it. It's basically, it's like chat rooms met podcasts. Right? So you remember like chat rooms back in the day where like you would just go into a room, you'd have like your own handle and you'd just be able to type to people?
Yes.
Right. Well, these rooms are the same except for it's audio.
No video.
Yeah, it's just audio.
Just audio.
So it's just people talking. So like you literally don't have to, you can focus on, you know, like how people like listen to music or people listen to podcasts or whatnot or audiobooks. It's the same thing. It's live. So whoever is speaking at that moment is legitimately wherever they are in the world, actually speaking. And like, there's tons of like, I'll give you an example. Okay, I'm gonna go in and I'll tell you what the current rooms are. So this is based on people that I follow. Okay. One of them is high performance success coaching. So if I went into this room, I'd be able to hear any of these people speak. Right, and like, there's tons. There's 586 people in the room and 66 people speaking, but not all at the same time, right? And then there's another room. This is just underneath it. that is the this is a club that's on the app. So the club is the Extra Paranormal Society, and the room is Magic and the Occult. How does it relate to ETs? Right. And then the next one under it is writing and directing the short. And then after that is Rock Boys Feeling Good Today, Upstate of Mind, right? Like, it's just a whole bunch of different, like another one is spirit hacking. And then, you know, another one's about networking with people. So at the end of the day, it's just about, you know, going in, connecting, like going into the rooms that resonate with you and connecting with people that you connect, like align with. So like someone will be speaking, and if you have something to add to it, you can just been like, yo, can I add to that? And most people have been like, yeah, go ahead. And so like in 1 month, I have 319 followers and I'm following 366. In 1 month, just talking to people. I don't know if you're... I'm going to pause now. There we go. I hear you. But it's a dope site, dude. Like...
Oh, I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, I want to get as many people that I know on it and, like, get a small little tribe going. Right? That type of shit. But, yeah, dude, like, I guarantee you, you'd meet a ton of people. Like, I met a guy... I've met a guy on there, so I need to, like, I really wish you could be in the room with us. He was just like, yeah, if you get your, I don't know if I would be able to do it, because it might just be an American thing, but he does insurance as well. And he's just like, yeah, man, if you got your insurance license or whatever it was, then I'd be able to, right, like we'd be able to grow this out and whatnot. And I was just like, well, you know, like what I would like to do with that is more so hear more about like what's going on and then build a team around the right people that really would want to knock it out. Right, because apparently, dude, in his, and like you'd be able to back this up probably, there's money to be made in the insurance field. Right? I can't hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there's money to be made in those fields.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, especially insurance, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I know it firsthand.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, right? So, like, what I want to do is I'm going to go listen to this guy, and then I'll read, like, and the thing is that like I've gotten to know this guy over time. Like, we have each other on like phone numbers and shit like that, right? We talk like probably like 2 or 3 times a week. We want to do like other shit. Right. And he was just like, yo, I got this one buddy who does this. And like, I'm doing it too on like a smaller scale. And he's just like, you know, if you know people, we could really do this on a bigger level. And I was just like, well, you know, I don't know anything about it. And I'm not really the kind of guy that's interested in like, I care about more about like the act of like doing fun things and like being with people that I love and that type of shit. But I know people out there that, you know, are that not necessarily like don't really care about money in general. What they like is, you know, like in Mario, or like you played video games before, right? Like, what do you remember? Like in video games, did you ever try and just run up the score? Mm-hmm. Yo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm here.
Were you talking?
No, I didn't say anything. I didn't know if you were done or not.
Oh, my bad.
I was just gonna say. Yeah, so with the guy that's insurance, health, life.
I think it's health, but I'm not sure. It's health, life. I don't know. That's what I gotta, like. That's what I'm saying. There's like. I gotta go in there and listen and ask questions and whatnot. But my idea is basically to get a collective of people that want to do that and see what we can do. right? I have no interest, right? But I know people that might be, right? And so I was just like, well, dude, can we like set up a team type thing? And he's just like, that's even better. And I was like, good. Right. And all it is, it's just a matter of like it working for everybody. And what I would do is, you know, like, okay, dude, people are just like, I think people fail to truly understand what a team is. Right. But like the Chicago Bulls won 6 championships in a decade, where Michael Jordan retired after like, the 2 year, like there was still 2 years left in the 90s that he probably could have like played and won championships. He just didn't want to. Right. And he missed one in the middle. Like Michael Jordan, more than likely after he won his first champion, could have run out the 90s. Right. Like he lost in like 91 or something. Like they didn't win it in 91, but I think they got it like 92 on, and they could have had it throughout. But now imagine if, cause like, I think a lot of people think like when it's involves team, that means that everyone is treated equal in that sense or seen as equal. But if you were to do that with the Chicago Bulls and treated everyone as equal, Michael Jordan wouldn't have been the dynamic, explosive player that he was, right? And so what I want to do is get more of a team like the Expendables than get a team that's, you know, like all on the same, like that instead of like an office team, you know what I mean? Right, get all-stars, get people that want to, that are independently, like independent functioning people that in a team environment would thrive. As long as they could be individuals. Does that make sense? And I'm good too, so go ahead. You around?
Mm-hmm.
You sleeping?
No, look, I keep talking. That's why I don't know what is going on with this mic.
Do you want to just do it without it?
No, I mean, really? Maybe I can sit there and see if I can find some different headphones. If not, then I can always just, like, tomorrow just go buy some.
Yeah, that's right, man.
I mean, don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what costs that much. No. I can go buy some.
No, headphones are pretty, like, even if they're just temporary cheap ones, just.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. It don't even matter.
Yeah. Right, yeah, exactly, man, exactly. Are those the ones that came with your phone?
No, they're not. They are aftermarket.
That's right.
Those are good, though. Always good. If you buy a newer phone,
mm-hmm.
they should be good.
Well, I mean, Apple basically like sells their own on the side now. They don't even sell them with phones.
Oh, see.
Right, but they're like $25. Right, so like they're cheaper. They're the same cost or cheaper than some of the like just basic cheaper brands. Right, and they're solid. They actually these are probably my favorite headphones out of any headphones that I've ever had. And they're just basic fucking Apple headphones that would not work with your phone.
So do you feel like I feel like Apple products are better, truly.
You know what, dude, in all honesty, I think so too. And I think one of the reasons is because at least when Steve Jobs was around, they really didn't care about what anybody else was doing. They only care. And that's like when people are just like, well, you know, like, do you go out and look for like competition and shit like that? Do you do research or anything like that? I'm just like, nope. I don't do any of that. I just basically think, what would I want? What would I like to see? What would I like to watch? What would I like to share with people? That type of shit. And I do that.
Right.
Right. And I think it's just, oh my God, my back is killing me. What were we just talking about? A better product, and then basically, like, but that's the thing, right? Like, if you were to, like, think about you writing your book, okay? Now imagine if you went out and you researched how many other people were doing the same thing you were first, and researched what they were doing, right? You'd be just caught up in, like, trying to, in a sense, write the better book that they're writing.
Right.
That doesn't make sense to me, man. Right.
Stay true to myself. I feel you, though.
That's right, man.
I agree.
That's the only way you can be, I think, right? Like, that's the only way that we're ever going to evolve and be successful, right? Like, it's super easy for the guy that, that, you know, it's easy for anybody to start a mug company right now. You know? But it's not easy for someone to, you know, and it's easy to go online and just find someone that's done it and this and that, right? But it's not easy for someone to learn it from the ground up. Especially if you have your own idea. Like, imagine creating a smart mug that when you woke up and that you could basically, in a sense, and we're getting there, dude. I don't know if we're there yet, but we're getting there. Where, like, you would be able to, on your phone, set the temperature of your mug so that when you poured a liquid in there, eventually that liquid, too, would get to that temperature and would let you know on your phone when it's ready. You wouldn't be able to go and look at everybody else's mugs and been like, oh, that's what they did to make theirs a smart mug? You'd have to do that yourself. Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Everything is built upon trust. And in one way or another.
I agree, man. That's trust. It's a 5-letter word. You know what's interesting about trust? Is it's both something that is, like, in a sense, based in emotion, but it's also something that can be, like, financial as well. Right? Like, they build a trust fund for somebody. Have you ever heard of those? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? So, like, it's interesting. The word trust is, I think that's, like, when did we learn about that? When did you learn about trust?
I feel like 16, 17.
So, like, up
to really, like, take it seriously.
Yeah. Right. To, like, well, but, like, if you think about it, dude, I think that's a responsible time to really, because, like, in a couple of years, you're going to be basically looked upon as being able to make your own decisions. Right? And, like, I really do think, like, the first, like, you know what's wild about trust, too, is I think the first relationship that we're meant to build with it is the last relationship that we even think about. Who is the most important person in the world that we're supposed to build trust with? I'm sure you're talking right now. Like, if you had to just make a guess, like, if you can't think of anybody right now, if you just made a guess, who would you say is the most important person? I could say being. It would throw you off, though. But who's the most important person? Who through your entire life do you need to trust the most? You still there?
Mm-hmm.
You just thinking?
I would I don't know. It's kind of a hard question.
Right, but really, really deep down, think about it. Because this is what I mean, that like most people don't think about this being. Who has been in your life 100% of the time, all of the time?
Right, yeah. You.
But we don't think that way, right?
Right, I see what you're saying.
It's such a, like, easy... It is. It's such an easy answer, but we don't fucking think about it. You know? So, you know, but it is. It is. Like, and it's... I wonder how much are we... Like, I bet you when you were younger, you trusted yourself. And then there was a period of time when you didn't. And then a period of time where, like, you had to relearn to trust yourself again. And I think that happens when we go through, like, trauma. Like, when we learn shame or shit like that for the first time. Because, like, if you think about it... Okay, what are your thoughts on shame? Like, the idea of it.
I mean, I think it's holding us back.
Pardon? You think it's holding us back? Yeah. When do you... Like, it's something that we learn super early, too, right? And so, like, what I think happens is that we, when we're younger, have no reason not to trust ourselves in the world, right? Like, think about it. There's no reason not to trust things, right? And then all of a sudden, an event happens that's out of our control, right? That's out of our control, that we then build up defenses about one way or another, right? And I think what takes the biggest hit there is the trust that we had built with ourselves, right? And that goes away. And instead of that, we then start putting trust, like, instead of running on trust, we run on something else. Right. And it could be like fear. It could be an emotion, right? Like the emotion of fear. So I wonder, like, is trust an emotion? I think it is. Like, me personally, I just don't know where it falls. And I think it falls, like, somewhere like in the heart. I don't know if you went mute again.
Mm-hmm.
No, here. Yeah, right. Like, I think it's in our heart, where trust is, like, as an emotion. And I think shame. Where do you think? I think shame. Shame's got to be somewhere too, eh? And that fucking that. Once we go into shame, it's almost like we go into shock, and then we stop trusting ourselves, and we let, like I said, something else run us. And we let that thing run us for a long, long time until we finally go, what the fuck is going on with us? You know, like, it starts to work against us, and we stop. We continue. We're always fighting with ourselves and whatnot. And I think at some point we just sort of, I don't know if everyone goes through this, but I know I definitely did, where we have this, like, breakdown, and we start to question. I started to question myself. And I started to fight with myself a lot and argue and just, like, internally. And I eventually was just like, enough, what the fuck's my problem? And a big part of it was, is that I didn't trust myself. And so that's what I started to work on. Right? Because I think we get damaged when we're kids, and we never get, We never, because we don't learn it, and then we never pass it down to our kids. We never really say, hey, you know what? It's okay that stuff happened, but it's also okay to move forward. Right? And to, you know, like, you may have, because, like, dude, the reason why we lose trust is because I think we feel like we put ourselves in that position, and then we can't trust ourselves to make decisions. I think that's the big one. Yo, are you there? Yo, yo.
I might have to try and find some headphones.
Do you want to try this tomorrow?
Yeah, let's see.
Because then it gives you a day to, like, look, see, and then just go grab some if you don't.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, right.
We're
right,
like,
right.
Dude, we got 70 minutes. 70 minutes is huge.
Right. No, I agree.
Right. But, I mean, in my opinion, any minutes that get put on the game clock are good minutes.
Right. So. Agreed.
So, yeah, why don't we do that? Why don't we... Why don't we continue tomorrow?
Dude, no, that sounds perfect to me. Like I said, definitely good to hear from you, man. Dude. You have a good rest of your night, and I'll definitely connect with you tomorrow for
sure. Sounds good, dude. Sounds good. How's the snow out there?
Oh, man, it's probably about 4 inches.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah, it's about the same here. I think it'll be melted by tomorrow.
Man, that's what I'm hoping.
All right, dude. Stay blessed.
All right, man. Good.